1 Samuel chapter number 2 is where we're going to be this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Turn with me over to, by the way, men's fellowship breakfast, guys, 6:30 Tuesday at Countryside Lakes. Don't forget that. All right, verse 35, 1 Samuel 2, verse number 35. The Bible is going to liken our life to a house. Look at verse 35. It says, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever." Did you know that every person in here this morning is in the process of building your life? Paul taught the same principle in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, when he wrote to the church, the body of Christ. And in that passage, he said that you are either building your life a sure house. You're building your life like a sure house. The word sure there means to be firm and to be supported. You're either building your life a sure house of gold and silver and precious stones. In other words, you got the right building materials that you're building your life with. Or you're building a house made of straw that's eventually going to crumble and it's going to be destroyed. Your life's going to be destroyed because you're building with the wrong materials. You're building your life the wrong way. How many of you remember that very deep intellectual story called The Three Little Pigs? How many of you remember that? We've got some deep people here. And you remember one of them little pigs built their house out of straw or hay. And what happened when the big bad wolf came? What did he do? Blew it down, didn't he? And this chapter in God's Word is about young people. Teenagers, you ought to listen very closely. This chapter is about young people that chose to build their life in two completely different, diametrically opposite ways. First of all, you got these two boys that were brothers. They were called the sons of Eli. The high priest, the religious leader of Israel, was Eli. He was the high priest. He had two sons that chose to build their life of straw. A life that would dishonor the Lord, disrespect God. If you look down at verse number 12, it says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial and knew not the Lord." If you look on down at verse number 17, it says, "Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." So you got these two boys that sinned greatly. They were wicked and they didn't know God. Then you got a boy named Samuel. Some of you will remember last week that Samuel's mother, Hannah, came and she dedicated Samuel there in the temple, and then she left him to serve there with Eli and to help Eli at the tabernacle. Now, Samuel is still a child in chapter 2, but yet I want you to notice that he decided that he was going to build a house that would be of gold and of silver, not of straw. He would build a life that would honor and that would glorify the Lord. I want you to look down with me at verse 18. And right after we read in verse 17 about the two brothers and their great sin, look what the Bible says about Samuel in verse 18. It says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod." Look at verse number 26. It says, And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Now here's the thing. Do you want to know how to build your life? If you want to know how to build your life the right way, if you want to know how to build your life in a way that would be gold and silver and precious stones and not straw, if you want to know how to build your life the right way, there's only one place to find out, and it's not on TV, and it's not Hollywood. If you want to know how to build your life the right way, you're not going to find it at the magazine rack at the local grocery store. And you're not going to discover it through the secular music stations on the radio dial. It's in those places where you'll learn how to build your life out of the stuff that Eli's sons built their life out of. It's in those places where you will learn how to build your life in a way that it'll make a train wreck out of your life. But if you want, it says in your handout, if you want to build a sure house, if you want to build a house that is firm, that is structurally sound, then where do you go? You got to go to God's Word. If I want to build my life God's way, then I need to go to God's Word, because it is going to tell me how to build my life God's way. You can try to build your life the way you think it ought to be built. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, the Bible says. But the end thereof are the ways of death. You can try to build your life the way that you think, friend, that it ought to be built. But if you want a sure house, if you want a house that's going to stand the test of time, if you want a house that's going to be made out of silver and gold and precious stones and not straw, if you want to build your house in a way that isn't going to eventually crumble and fall, then my friend, there's only one way to do it. And that is you've got to find out what God's way is. And the only way to know what God's way is to go to God's Word. And oh, how I desire to see each of you, as your pastor, build your life in a way that honors and glorifies the Lord. Being in a place for 20 years as I've been here, I've seen kids grow up in our church, become teenagers, become adults, and make a train wreck out of their life. Just make bad choices, build their life on straw. I've seen it. But boy, what a joy it is to see kids grow up, come through the youth group, and go on into adulthood and decide they're going to build their life God's way. They're going to build their life the way God would have them to build it. You know, this week, there's been a terrible tragedy, if you haven't heard, a massive earthquake in the country of Haiti, in the capital city. They're estimating that up to 100,000 people have died in one earthquake. Can I submit to you, that could just as easily be Daytona Beach, Florida. That could be us, with no place to meet this morning. And you know, I was looking at some pictures of all of the wreckage and all the catastrophe there. And this picture really got a hold of me. Because as I looked at this picture, I saw all the wreckage and I saw all the homes and all the buildings that were completely leveled. But what really amazed me is that there would be some buildings like this one that just looked like it was still completely intact. There'd be just complete wreckage here of buildings that were completely leveled, and then there'd be a house next to it that seemed to kind of, you know, right here, that just, it was still standing. And you know, as I looked at that, I thought, man, what a picture of what we're talking about today. I mean, here you got buildings, the same country, the same city, even the same block, but yet, and they encountered the same catastrophe. Yet some stood and some didn't. And you can have people that have been in church, under the sound of the Word of God, hearing the gospel, hearing God's Word, maybe raised in a Christian home, and yet when problems and trials and catastrophes come, some people just crumble, and then other people stand strong. What's the difference? It's all in how you choose to build your life. How are you going to build a life and build it the right way? I want to give you three quick thoughts. Number one is this from this text. Number one, it all begins with number one. You must know the Lord. You see, Eli was the high priest over God's tabernacle. Oh, Eli was a man that, he's a weird guy, I tell Eli. He's just a strange fella. You read about Eli and you kind of just scratch your head with this fella. Eli was a guy that was the high priest. And Eli was a man that seemed to love the Lord. He seemed to respect the things of God. But Eli had a big problem. You know what his problem was? Eli was a lax father that would not discipline his two sons. And the result of his failure to discipline them was that he raised a couple of rebels. Look down at verse number 22 and notice this is going to describe for you what happened. It says in verse 22, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him." In other words, you'll go to court and the judge will decide. "But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Who's going to mediate? Who's going to try to intercede for him? Notwithstanding," look what it says, "they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." These boys had every opportunity being raised around the things of God to place their faith and to place their trust in God. But instead of doing so, they rebelled and they thought they knew better. And they became followers of the false god Belial. Oh, they were outwardly acting as servants of the Lord. I mean, they knew how to look the part as priests. Oh, they knew how to act the part as priests. They knew how to act religious. They knew how to put on the cloak. But they did not, in reality, know and serve the true God. These two boys were living in very deep sin. Basically, and I'm not going to have time to go into it, we will next week. But if you read this week, verses 13 through 16, what you're going to find is basically what they were doing is they were stealing God's offerings. People would come in, they would bring an offering for the Lord, and these two boys would steal it. They would take it, and they would use it for themselves. And they were being enriched by taking advantage of these people. Not only that, they were using their position to commit sexual, lewd sin with women that would come to the tabernacle to worship God, and these two reprobates would come and lure these women into doing things that were displeasing to God. Do you know what their problem was? Do you know what the root problem with these two boys were? Look at verse 12, and that's going to tell you the root problem right there. Verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and then read it with me. They knew not the Lord. Bingo. Right there you go. These two boys did not know the Lord in a personal way. I want to take that phrase, they knew not the Lord, and I want to emphasize some different aspects of that. In your handout, notice that the first word I emphasize is they. They knew not the Lord. Now that's interesting that God separates them out from their father Eli. He didn't say that Eli and the whole bunch didn't know the Lord. He said they didn't know the Lord. Eli, their father, he did know God, but his sons didn't. Now, what does that tell me? What's the lesson I learned from that? In your handout, it says salvation is a personal choice that every person must make for themselves. It is between you and God, my friend. Nobody can make that decision for you. You have to personally decide what you will do with Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died for you on the cross for your sins. You have to decide whether or not you're going to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and become a child of God and know the Lord, or whether or not you will not know the Lord. You have to make that decision. Nobody can make it for you. And some of you in here may have been raised by Christian parents. And can I say it with all kindness and all grace and with love and with a true, genuine desire for you to know the truth? And that is this statement. Just because your parents knew the Lord does not make you a Christian. Does not make you a Christian. You can look at your family tree and you can look back as far as you can at your ancestors and you can say, every one of my ancestors were Christians and they all knew the Lord. But you know what? If you don't make that decision in your heart for yourself, you will die in your sins and you will live apart forever from Jesus Christ. You see, my friend, it's got to be a personal decision that you want to know the Lord. You want to be saved. You want to do something about your sin problem. And so you want to trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior so that you won't live apart from Him forever. You have to make that decision. They knew not the Lord. Oh, sure, their dad knew the Lord. But that wasn't good enough for them. They had to personally know the Lord. Are you with me today? Are you listening to me? You've got to know the Lord, friend. You've got to know Him. But number two, they knew, I want to emphasize the word knew, they knew not the Lord. Oh, in your handout it says they knew about the Lord, but there's a really big difference between knowing about the Lord and knowing the Lord. There's a big difference between knowing about somebody and knowing somebody. A lot of you in here know about me. You know about me. You can spit out some facts about me and tell people about me. But you know what? That little lady right there, she knows me. been married 22 years, and she knows me. And we're going to keep it between us, right, baby? You know, this guy on the screen, I know all about him. Who is that? Andy Griffith. And those of you who know me know I'm a big fan of the old Andy Griffith Show. And I know all about Andy Griffith, and I know what he did before he was on Andy Griffith Show. And I know what different movies he was on, and I know, you know, about the show and what happened during the show. And I can tell you a lot of stuff about Andy Griffith, but do I know Andy Griffith? Difference between knowing about somebody and knowing them. Let me bring up another picture. Now, you may know about Tiger Woods, and we know more about him than we did 3 months ago. But you know what? Even though we, and boy, the media has told us all about him, haven't they? But you know what? Do we know Tiger Woods? We don't know him. We don't know him. We know about him, but we don't know him. You see, these boys had been raised up around the things of God, and they knew all about God. Oh, yeah, I know all about that God stuff. Yeah, I know what you're supposed to wear when you go in the temple. Oh, yeah, I know what sacrifice is supposed to be offered here and what sacrifice is supposed to be offered there. Oh, they knew all about the things of God, but they didn't know God. They didn't know God personally. And you can know all about God. You can know all about Jesus. You can go to church. You can go to Bible studies. You can go to the teen youth group. And you can still die lost and miss heaven. As a teenager and a child, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. But I was raised up in a home where we went to church. And I went to church and I learned some things about God. Oh, I knew about God. I knew about Jesus. And there are people who can spit out facts for you. Oh, yeah, 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 I know. Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, he died for our sins. Yeah, he rose again the third day. Yeah, he ascended up to the right hand of the Father. Can I submit to you, Satan knows all those facts. You know, it's not enough for you to know the facts. You've got to know the Savior, Jesus Christ. You got to know him. They knew not the Lord. But number three, it says they knew not who? The Lord. I want to emphasize the fact that they knew not the Lord. Their failure came in failing to know a person, the Lord. In your handout, it says the only way to heaven is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the verse did not say they knew not the law. Did you notice that, Brother Rob? It didn't say they knew not the law. Oh, they knew the law. They knew what sacrifice was to be offered on this occasion. They knew, again, like I said a minute ago, they knew what what garb the priest was supposed to wear for this occasion and that occasion. It didn't say they knew not the law. It said they knew not the Lord. It did not say they knew not the tabernacle. Oh, I'm sure they knew all about the tabernacle. They've been raised up around it. They knew the insides and the outs of it. They probably, as kids, knew all the good hiding places, you know. My kids can tell you the best hiding places in this building. You know how they know them? They've been raised up around there. They're around this place all week, all the time. And so I'm sure as little kids, they knew all about the tabernacle. Their failure was not they knew not the law. Their failure was not they knew not the tabernacle. Their failure was they knew not who? The Lord. And you can know church membership and not know the Lord. You can know water baptism. And I have people tell me. I mean, it's like they're proud of it. Yeah, I've been baptized 3 different times in 3 different churches. Man, I'm all covered. What's that all about? Like that water is going to do something about your sin problem. You know? No, no, no. You can know baptism and not know the Lord. You can know a life group. You can know all those things and still die in your sins. The difference between heaven and hell are none of those things. The question is, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? You see, life can be rough. And if you want to build a life that's going to stand, you better know the Lord. You better know Him personally. Number two, the second thing I want to give you this morning is this. And that is, if we want to build a life that's going to stand, not only must we first know the Lord, but number two, you must serve the Lord. you must serve the Lord. You know, Samuel, he was different than Eli's sons. Because Samuel made a choice that he was going to serve the Lord. You see, once we know the Lord, that's just the beginning. In your handout, look at your handout. It says, after we meet the Lord, there should be a desire to serve the one who saved us. There should be a desire to turn your life over to Him and to His control. Look up here with me at the screen and look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, okay, you're saved, you know the Lord now. But guess what? You're not the same person you were before you got saved. The Bible says, if I'm in Christ, I'm a what? I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Look at this verse, Romans 12:1. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. These are Christians. These are believers. They know the Lord. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable what? Service. After we get saved, God saved us to serve Him. You know, Samuel, if you look down at verse number 18, I want to show you this. It says in verse 18, it says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child. That word ministers mean he served, he contributed. As a child, Samuel was a contributor serving the Lord. You know what Samuel's job was? Samuel's job was to help the high priest, Eli, and to do whatever he told him to do. But here's the key. Here's the key. Did you know that Samuel, as he served Eli, really he was serving the Lord? Look at chapter 3. Go over to chapter 3, verse 1. Look what it says. And the child Samuel ministered unto who? The Lord before Eli. That goes along with what Paul told the church, huh? Look in your handout. Look in your handout at Ephesians 6:7. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord. Say that phrase with me. As to the Lord. When we work and walk through Bethlehem, we should be doing it what? As to the Lord. When you usher, you should be doing it what? As to the Lord. How about if I get up and preach or teach? Or how about if I sing in the choir? Or how about if we play an instrument? Or how about if we teach a Sunday school class? Or how about if we work with the kids next door? Or we work and help Brother Rob with the teenagers? Or we go out visiting with Pastor Larry and invite people to church? You know what? As we serve, we should do it what? As to the Lord and not to men. Look at the next verse. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, say it with me, as to the Lord, and not unto men. I want to ask you two questions. Number one, Christian, you know the Lord. I'm talking to people in here who know that they know the Lord. Here's my first question. Are you serving the Lord? What are you doing to serve the Lord? Number two, here's my second question. Why are you serving the Lord? Why? Are you doing it to please the pastor? Are you doing it to please the youth leader? Are you doing it to please your parents? Are you doing it to please your life group teacher? Why are you serving the Lord? Samuel ministered unto the Lord. But I want you to get a statement in your handout. I want you to get this statement. Samuel served the Lord when it was not popular. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about this with me, okay? Pastor Rob, come here real quick. Come here and help me. Pastor Larry, come here. Help me real quick. Okay? Now, these guys... You guys are together. You're Hophni and Phinehas. You are the two rebellious sons of Eli, okay? All right, now, here they are. They are serving, quote, in the temple. Really, they're extorting people. They're taking advantage of people. They're just trying to use people. Oh, but they have a cloak that they look great. They're playing the part. But these two guys are wicked. They don't know the Lord, okay? And so now, Clayton, come here, along comes Samuel. Notice how my son gets to be Samuel, okay? And so Samuel comes along, and now Samuel, as a child, is in the temple, and Hophni and Phinehas are there, okay, doing their thing, being cool. They think they're so cool. Act cool. Just kind of act cool, yeah. And so you guys do a lousy job acting cool. So they're kind of hanging out at the temple, and here comes Samuel, and Samuel's watching them act cool, okay? And he's watching these guys as they take advantage of people, get rich off of people, as they exploit women. He is watching them do that. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that it's possible, or would it have, I should phrase it this way, would it have been easy for the child Samuel to follow their example, yes or no? Absolutely. These are the two guys that are the leaders. Eli's an old guy now. He's an old codger. These two guys are the young and upcoming generation. And man, this is the way we do things around here, man. We take advantage of people. We steal their offerings. We take advantage of these women. This is what we do, man. And so he's watching these two birds over here, all right? And it would have been easy for Eli, and a cop-out for Samuel, it would have been an easy cop-out for him to just join right in with them and go right on in with them in their sin and in their rebellion. But he didn't. Come here. He didn't do it. I want you to look down with me at 1 Samuel 2, verse 18. Right after he told you in verse 17... that those two guys right there, look at verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. But then what does verse 18 say? The next verse draws a parallel. It says, but Samuel what? Ministered before the Lord. Look up here, teenagers. This young man, Samuel, I'm sure he was ridiculed. I'm sure, guys, on the front row, Brother Rob's watching you. I'm sure, you better go sit down. Go ahead, Hophni, go. Hophni, go back. Phinehas, you can go back. Thanks. Samuel, thank you. All right. I'm sure that it would have been easy for Samuel to use that as a cop-out, because don't you know he was ridiculed? Don't you know he was made fun of? But yet he ministered and he served the Lord. You know what? I submit to you this morning, there's something to learn here. We need some Christians and we need some teenagers with some backbone that will say, I don't care what people are doing at work. I don't care what everyone's doing at school. I don't care what they're doing on the ball team. I don't care what everybody else is doing in the neighborhood. I don't care. I am going to serve my Lord. That takes some backbone. You can't be a Hophni and a Phinehas and do that. It takes somebody with some backbone like Samuel. Believers that don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm going to serve the Lord. But then I want you to notice the last thing there. Samuel served the Lord being a child. He served the Lord, the Bible says, being a child, verse 18. So don't you think it's time we put away our excuses, teenagers? Well, I'm too young to serve the Lord. Well, we got some teenagers in this church that are a great example of serving the Lord. You know, do you know who one of the most active groups in our church are that serves the Lord and that does ministry around here and that does things like walk through Bethlehem? You know who one of the most active groups are in our church that serves God here? It's the teens. It's the teenagers. And you see, thank God for teenagers who will be like Samuel and they'll put away their excuses of I'm too young, or what will my boyfriend think, or well, my friend doesn't want to get right with God. Well, one day I will when I get older. But you put away the excuses and you look at Samuel and the example and you say, okay, if Samuel can do it, I can do it. I'm going to step up to the plate. I'm going to put away the excuses and I'm going to serve my God. And adults, do you think it's possible that we can come up with some excuses too? Why we don't want to serve the Lord? I'm too busy. Now, that's great. Think about that statement. That's a great statement. I'm too busy to serve the Lord. I'm too busy to serve the Lord. My kids are small. My kids are teens. Well, I got the grandkids. Well, I can't do it. Let somebody else do it. God did not save you to sit. He saved you to serve Him. And Ephesians 2:10 proves it. Paul said, for we are His workmanship. When you get saved, you become God's workmanship. You're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What does the verse say? It says, I've been created in Christ. I've been made a new creature in Christ unto what? Say it real loud. Unto what?
Good works.
Eli's sons said, we're going to serve ourselves. We're going to serve our wants. We're going to serve our desires. We're going to do what makes us feel good. Samuel said, I will serve the Lord. And we're going to see in a minute that there were consequences that came along with those choices. But before we look at that, number three in your handout, if we are going to build a sure house, a stable house, a house made of that's not made of straw, number three, you must grow in the Lord. You must know the Lord. You must serve the Lord. You must grow in the Lord. Would you please look down with me at verse number 26? It says, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Will you skip over to chapter 3, please? Go over to chapter 3, verse 19. What's the first three words say? And Samuel grew. And in your handout it says that as Samuel grew, he was in favor with God and with people. He was in favor with God and with people. And as you grow in your Christian walk, not only will you please the Lord, you're going to impact other people's lives for good. And if you're going to grow, it's going to take two things. I brought this in as an illustration this morning. And this is a rose. There it is. I was looking for that other bloom that was there. Huh? Oh, one of them fell off? Well, that's sad. I hate to hear that. Well, anyway, this is a rose bush. Now, if I were to take this plant, and it's already got some blooms here that are going to be coming out pretty soon, I think. But if I were to take this, lift it out of the pot, stick it here on the pulpit, and leave it for 4 weeks, what would happen to it? It would die. What would happen to it? It would get all what? Brown, shriveled up. Would the roses bloom? No. But let me ask you something. If I want those roses to bloom, what's it going to take? What? Tell me a couple things that this thing needs. Need some water. And what else? Need some sunlight. That's right. And you know, when I want to apply that to us. Do you want to grow in the Lord? Do you want to grow and get past where you are right now? It's two vital things you're going to need. Number one, sunshine. Say, what do you mean? When you go to the Lord in prayer, you're spending time in the light. Without that steady, when I get down on my knees, buddy, I'm basking in the sunshine of His fellowship. I'm walking in the light now as I fellowship with Him in prayer. And without that steady communication with the Lord, you're never going to grow. But then the second thing we said it needs is what? Water. The water, did you know that the Bible is likened to water? In Ephesians 4:26. On a hot summer Florida day, and this thing's out there, it begins to soak in and it begins to drink in that cool water. And that's like our spirit inside of us. Sometimes it gets dry, it gets barren. And it needs to drink in the water of God's Word because we're never going to grow if we don't. So, it's going to take sunshine and water if we're going to grow. It's going to take prayer, and it's going to take the Word of God. But I want to show you something real quick before we go. We said that the way you choose to build your life is going to have consequences, and it's going to make a difference. Well, how do we know that? Well, we look in the Bible and see it. I want us to look at the two sons of Eli, and I want to look at Samuel, and I want to see where their lives went. Where do you think their lives went? These guys are over here being cool, and they're extorting money. They're getting rich. They're enjoying their lewd sexual fun. And they think, "Woo, man, this is life. This is great. Oh, man, I'm loving life." Samuel's over here just serving the Lord, doing what's right. What ended up being the end of these guys? Go to chapter 3 and verse number 19. It says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. What about those two birds, Hophni and Phinehas? Whatever became of those two guys? Let me guess. They got rich and wealthy off of God's people, and then they retired in luxury. No. Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 10. And let me show you how their life ended. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent, and there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were what? Slain. In your handout, that blank is Samuel. And here's what I want you to do, and I want you to look up here. Samuel went on to be one of the greatest men in the Bible. God used him mightily. These two boys were a shame, and they were a disgrace to their father, and they died miserable deaths. And do you know what ended up happening? Not only did they die, they brought their poor old dad to his deathbed. Because all of a sudden this guy, he comes running in from the battle, he escapes, and he comes running into Eli, and Eli's kind of getting up in years, and he's sitting on this chair, and he comes in, and he says, Eli, both of your sons were killed in a battle, and the ark of God was taken. And when Eli hears that, the Bible says he fell off of his chair backward, and he broke his neck, and he died. Hophni and Phinehas not only died lonely, miserable deaths, they also brought their dad to his deathbed. And by the way, if you read on, Phinehas' wife was pregnant. She ends up dying in childbirth too when she gets the news. Not only this, the priesthood was stripped from their family during the days of King Solomon, and it never returned because of the wickedness of these boys. Their entire ancestry out in the future was affected by their sin. You better decide right now how you're going to build your life. Because if you wait to make that decision that you know you need to make, it may be too late. You need to make that decision now. You need to get your heart right with God now. If you don't know the Lord, you need to come to know the Lord personally now. Today is the day. Let's take God's word and let's let it speak to our hearts today. Would you do this with me? Let's all just bow our heads and let's close our eyes in prayer right now.